Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Financial Intelligence. This is Stephen, your host of Financial Intelligence, where we have that all-important conversation. Yes, that conversation, the money conversation. Here, we stress financial literacy as the key. Learning real-time information that you can actually apply immediately. So we can take this information, we can apply it immediately. This is the present form of education. No longer do we have to wait for years and years of study and then hope that we can apply. Today, we can gain information and immediately begin to apply it. That is the power of financial intelligence. We discuss all things financial, saving, budgeting, investing, starting a business. And what we do is we bring in the experts, we bring in those who have the experience so they can give you real-time information that is relevant, that is pertinent, that you can apply right away. So today we are definitely excited to bring to you an expert, Ms. Alicia S. Cooper, who is a branch manager at TAM Lending. She's a mortgage specialist. She engages in banking and the mortgage industry since 2005. Okay, she is an entrepreneur. She engages in business development as a professional. So she is experienced in increasing revenues. She's experienced in managing customer relations. And she is an advocate for her clients as well as her agents, whom she also trains. So she is personal, she is accessible, she is nurturing, she brings in the personal touch. I would like to invite everyone to hear from Ms. Alicia S. Cooper. Welcome, Alicia.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome, welcome.
Absolutely, you are very, very welcome. We would actually like to ask you if you would please just give us a little bit of information about you personally, about your background, about your interests, and the value that you're bringing today.
Sure. My name is Alicia Cooper. I am a certified mortgage planning specialist. I've been in the industry, as you mentioned, since 2005. But what I'm most excited about is being a wife and a mother of two. I have a son named Randy, who's 14, and Madison Rose, who is 6 years old, who actually is Miss Cinderella 2018. She won her first pageant this year, so we're super excited about that. And I love most about the mortgage industry is changing lives, but also the availability that it gives me to spend time with my family so I don't have to miss out.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm sure that being an entrepreneur, even though we know it can be very demanding on your time, but also it gives you the option to to actually schedule your time so that you can spend quality time with your family, with your children, with your husband, and with those who you love. So that is one of the qualities of being an entrepreneur. So that is excellent. And today, in addition, we have all of our partners. We have Mr. Brandon Tate. We have Ms. Kim Williams, who will also be participating in interviewing Ms. Alicia so that we can present all this valuable information for the benefit of everyone. So, again, welcome, and let's get rolling. You ready, Alicia?
I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm going to start with a question about mortgages. It says that you are a mortgage specialist. So if you could give us a little bit of understanding about exactly what is a mortgage, because I believe in starting from the basis. A lot of times, many of us think that we already know so many things already. But since you are a specialist and this is your expertise, I was wondering if you could start with that. Just help us understand exactly what is a mortgage.
Sure. So a mortgage is the instrument or the tool that is used regarding the financing of a home. So the best way to put it in thought is like a promissory note or the promise to pay is the mortgage, which is secured by your collateral, which is the house that you may be purchasing.
Okay, that's interesting. So you're saying that a mortgage is actually a promissory note?
Correct.
And that promissory note is then backed by collateral. And that collateral would be the home that you're purchasing.
Correct.
Okay. So after myself, I'm going to ask Ms. Kim if she would ask a question, and then Brandon, and we'll basically go around. So now before I pass it to Kim, I just want to ask one more question about that. Since you're defining a mortgage as a promissory note and at the house as being the collateral, then my question is, when you have a mortgage on the home, who owns the home? Do you own the home? Does the mortgage company own the home? Does the bank own the home? Who owns the home?
So
when you have a mortgage.
So the beauty of having a mortgage, since the home is the collateral, you own the collateral. You own the home. It is deeded to you, the individual, the borrower, the purchaser, for that property.
Okay, very well. And now I pass it to Ms. Kim Williams.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, we had the privilege of speaking to a real estate specialist. And, you know, I was excited to hear, okay, now we got somebody coming on talking about mortgages. My question for you, Alicia, is what is needed or what if I'm looking to get a mortgage for myself, what should I be doing right now? And I think that's important for our listeners to hear because a lot of people want to be a homeowner, but they don't understand that process, okay? What do I need to be preparing for? What do I need to have? What type of income? Things of that nature.
Okay. Well, what is needed for a mortgage often individuals want to limit it to one thing, what, first credit. But the company I work for, we are a flexible mortgage solution. So we're basing our decision on four main components. And the imagery I like to use is a stool. So imagine a four-legged stool. And if you have all four legs of a stool, it's going to be firm and secure while you're sitting there. And you may only have three components, three legs on the stool, and you may be able to balance yourself and still sit on that stool. Once you get to two legs, you probably wouldn't be able to sit there. And if you got to one leg on a stool, we know it wouldn't be able to stand on its own. So credit is just one of those legs of the stool. But the other pieces that we look at are your capacity, which is also known as your debt-to-income ratio, which is your expenses versus the income that you're bringing in on the growth side. So that's before taxes are taken out. We're also looking at your cash flow, how much money you have coming in, along with how much money are you going to still have left in the bank after you close on your home, after your down payment or closing costs, which is known as reserves. So that makes the bank feel really warm and fuzzy to know that if life were to show up and Murphy were to show up, even if you've had credit issues in the past, you still have some money there that would not necessarily mean that you're choosing between making a mortgage payment and getting the washing machine fixed in your house, for example. And the fourth leg is the collateral that you're buying. So when I first got into the business, everyone had a concept that if I asked the bank for a little bit of money, that shouldn't be a problem. But really what the bank is looking for is a good piece of collateral. So if it's $200,000, that may be an easier loan to get approved for than a $40,000 loan, and you need to do work to the property because the piece of collateral itself, the property, has not met its full potential. We like properties that have met their potential, that it's a good piece of property that we know when you move in is going to be safe, sanitary, and secure, as well as depending how much equity you have in that property or how much money you're going to put down into the transaction, how much you're invested into it also makes a difference, as well as how we are going to view that collateral. So just to go back to your question, what do you need? We usually say start with looking at the credit, but there are more components to the equation than just credit. There's also your capacity, which has to do with your debt-to-income ratio, your cash, which has to do with how much you're going to put into the transaction, along with how much are you still going to have in your bank account after you close. So if you save $10,000 and you need the whole $10,000 to close, then you don't have any safety net there. And then the collateral itself, is the collateral safe, sanitary, and secure?
You know, that's definitely key, because I think a lot of people tend to have the idea of, oh, yes, I want that home. Like you said, it may be a $200,000 home, and I may have a little bit of, savings or none at all, you know, and you find that you can't really afford it.
Correct. So we like to take a consult. Well, like mentioned in my bio, I really like to consult with my clients to go through the full picture, even though a lot of my clients find that we actually pre-approve them for more house than they're comfortable with, because the bank qualifies you on your gross income. So that's before taxes. We qualify you on income possibly that could be 20 to 30% of money that isn't even coming into the household. So I want to make sure that we have a opportunity to build wealth and that you're purchasing what you're comfortable with making a payment on, not just because the bank said we could qualify you for more than you're comfortable with.
Okay. That's so awesome to know, you know, especially when you're thinking about when you were talking about the four-legged stool and just using that imagery. I think it allows people to see, well, wait a minute. Like you said, I have this one aspect, but maybe I do need to work a little bit more over here because of X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
And I think that is so very important when it comes to talking about finances and making sure that people understand the big picture instead of one aspect.
That's so important. It's almost nearly impossible to gain wealth without viewing the big picture.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's one of the things that I've just been learning over the past couple of years since getting in the industry. on the insurance side. So thank you for sharing that and allowing our listeners to hear that, to see the importance of all four components instead of just one.
Correct.
Excellent. That was excellent. Thank you very much
indeed.
Again for
yes,
that.
Indeed.
We can highlight that again, as Ms. Cooper explained, the four-legged stool. So that is a very clear vision,
mm-hmm.
A very clear visual, as Kim stated, of how we can take care of the fundamentals so we can approach that question and approach that process of actually acquiring a property. By having it financed, by getting a mortgage, by understanding that it's collateral, and all of these terminologies are also equally important. Okay? So, because these things we consider to be a part of financial intelligence. Finances has a language, as Alicia is using the language of the industry. So we need to become familiar with that. And by becoming familiar with that, we're able to actually get a deeper understanding and we're able to make sound financial conclusions to our benefit. So thank you very much for that. And next,
I'd like
to ask Mr. Brandon Tate. Absolutely. Mr. Brandon Tate.
Mrs. Cooper, how you doing?
Hey there.
I tell you, the first time that I met you, you just wowed me with just the information that you had. You are a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate you joining our show.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Now you were talking a little bit about credit and about one of the four legs. Now, can you elaborate a little bit on the credit? A lot of times some people think that, hey, I have a 580, I can get a mortgage, or maybe I can, you know, get a 600 and be able to comfortably get a mortgage. What credit rating are you looking for as a mortgage person?
Okay. So as a full-service lender, I always say technically we don't have a minimum credit score. Now, the government agencies each have their own set of guidelines that we have to comply with, but we also have there are loan products out there that allow you to purchase a home with absolutely no credit score at all and use alternative credit. But if it's coming from the component of someone who has already established credit and currently may be in a tier of a lower to bad credit scenario, typically we like to see you having a 580 for an FHA loan and at minimum a 560 for a VA loan, and on the conventional side, at least a 620 credit score. Now, having those pieces is definitely going to affect what your interest rate is going to be, how much money you may need to put down, because credit is the initial risk assessment for someone who does not know you.
Right. Absolutely. Now, when you're talking about, you know, 560 for a VA or 580 or 620 for conventional, are you talking about high score, the middle score?
Oh,
what?
Great. I'm happy you brought that up. So we pull credit from the three main major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and we throw out the highest score you have. We also throw out the lowest score you have, and we use the middle score. It doesn't matter which one it's from, whatever that middle score is for qualifying purposes.
Okay, sounds good. So if you have someone that comes to you and says, I'm looking for a mortgage, I have the money, but my credit is suffering, what are some recommendations that you make to that client to help them increase their credit score?
So the first thing, if someone has the money, the first question we ask is, how did you acquire the money? Do you have a strong savings pattern, meaning you've acquired this money by taking money out of your paycheck and putting it away each month over the last 12 months? Or did you hit the lotto? You know, was it a settlement and you just received a lump sum of money? Because the strategy is going to change based on those scenarios. But for the person that has a strong savings pattern, and what I mean by strong is really the word consistent savings pattern, money they've been able to put away and they haven't had to touch, even if that was $25 a pack. We just like to see consistency there. If you've been able to consistently save and that's how you've acquired the money that you're going to use for your down payment and or closing cost, and the credit scenario was isolated, meaning it happened 12 months ago, you lost your job, medical expenses, something that shows that whatever caused that incident has been rectified now, we actually will work with you even with the lower credit score. You may not have to do anything to raise the credit score. But I find for most of my clients, what is needed to raise the credit score is that they need to trust themselves with credit again. They need to establish credit. So they're often opening a secure credit card.
I think, Alicia, that that's one of, when you said trust themselves with credit, I find a lot of people will say, oh, no, I don't need a credit card. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not. So that fear is one of the things that kind of like, well, but you have to establish it. I'm sorry, in the world that we live in today, you need credit. You need to establish some type of credit besides just paying your bills every month.
Correct. And the mortgage is going to be credit that's going to be extended to you, that we're going to expect you to pay between the 1st and the 15th of the month. And unless you hit the lotto, more than likely you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage off all at once. So you're starting to create these behaviors when you get that $300 limit, secure credit card, and even though you could write a check and pay it off, the goal is to remember to make that payment when it's due or before it's due consistently every month and not use more than the credit that has been extended to you.
Okay.
Absolutely. That is... That is important information. Now, there's another theme that we have in our show, and I think this is an appropriate time to actually bring up that theme because, Alicia, the things that you have pointed out, those four stools for qualifying oneself for a mortgage, which is one of the larger purchases that we make in our lives, you know, provided we do buy a home or buy a condominium or buy a townhouse or buy a motorhome or any of those type things, that we have to establish ourselves financially and prove ourselves qualified in order to finance something, which is basically, like you said, a promissory note. Basically, we are borrowing money in order to do this. So in order to qualify oneself, of those four items that you mentioned, you said credit, you said capacity, you said cash flow, you said collateral, you didn't mention college degrees. So that one of the themes of our show is that actually financial literacy is very powerful, and it's actually, in many instances, more powerful than simply having a college degree. Because if a person can have a college degree in any area, but if they don't understand these fundamental principles about how to establish their financial condition, you're not going to get anywhere. Because when you go to purchase a home, no one is going to ask you, what type of degree do you have?
What college did you go to? What was your GPA in college? They want to know your credit score, not your test score. So I think this kind of is meant to readjust our understanding of how we're going to advance in the financial world is by having this financial intelligence, this financial information. Do you agree with that?
Totally.
Awesome way to segue, Stephen.
Absolutely, because it just keeps coming up, you know, when we're talking, we want to make financial advancement, and I meet so many people who often tell me when they want to make financial advancement, so they're going to go back to school, and I understand that, but really, there's certain information that you need in order to make financial advancement, and it's not always going back to school. So, for instance, if you want to get a mortgage, it's not... Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interject, but making more money will not fix your credit issues. Making more money will not allow you to have a better hold on money management and wealth building tools. So going back to school, hence to make more money, I often hear that ideally, unless you're paying for it, is actually just going to create more debt for you if you're getting student loans. And, you know, student loans need to be paid one day. Often, you know, you want to progress by going back to school, but the easiest way to do is to bite the bullet and start with the small pieces. Like I mentioned, a $300 secure credit card, and remembering every month on the 13th, I have to pay this card that $10, $15 just to recondition your mind, just like going to the gym, to build that financial muscle of being financially responsible.
That's so key. The responsibility part that you're talking about, because, you know, every 2 weeks when we have our conversation, we're talking about establishing habits that will allow the individual to say, well, look, it's responsibility that I have. I have to make sure that this is priority for me. So these are just some key things that you brought to light, and I like that week after week we're hearing the same thing from different people. But I do have a question for you, Alicia.
Sure.
You had mentioned about a FHA, VA, and conventional. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that for people that may not know what the differences are?
Sure. A conventional loan is a government-backed loan that does not fall under the Federal Housing Administration, which is FHA, or you may hear HUD. So the Federal Housing Administration, that's what FHA stands for. A VA loan is under the Department of Veteran Affairs. And there is another government loan out there that I didn't mention earlier, which is the USDA loan, which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay, so you're saying that for each one of them, they have different qualifications? So obviously, I guess, in order for you to get a VA loan, you would have to be a veteran, or can you also be the child or the spouse of a veteran in order to take advantage of, for instance, the VA loan?
To take advantage of a VA loan, you must be married to the veteran who has the certificate of eligibility. Being the child of a veteran does not qualify you for VA financing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the FHA loan, what are the qualifications for an FHA loan? You mentioned federal housing, you mentioned HUD, and you mentioned USDA. Is that correct?
Yes. So the FHA loan is one of the most popular loan products that are out there. I find most clients fit into that qualification because they have the flexible, more lenient guidelines when it comes to credit and down payment requirements, along with the lower credit score compared to a conventional loan, which has very good products out there. And I'm trying to stay away from products because I could probably talk about products for 8 hours straight. I do a lot of training.
All right. That's all right. We'll invite you to another show, that's all. We'll just invite you to another show.
Okay. So with there being so many products out there, if someone is interested in a product, I suggest always working with a full-service lender. So when you meet with that lender, preferably me, we can limit the time that we're spending together guessing. We'll be able to design a plan and discuss which products actually you qualify for.
Yeah, because time is something you can't get back.
So when it comes down to the second point that you were mentioning about the capacity and the debt to income ratio, what percentage are you actually looking for a client?
So not to toot my own horn again, but having the flexible mortgage solutions, we actually have expanded ratios. So I have clients who can qualify for a higher debt-to-income ratio or capacity, but speaking from where most traditional banks and lending institutions, you would usually need to be between 45 to 50%. So your debt-to-income ratio should not exceed that amount. So the debts versus your gross income should not be more than 50%.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, with cash flow, the next point that you're mentioning, with the cash flow, how much, if somebody, for example, they've seen a house for like $100,000, just throwing it out there, right? And how much cash flow are you looking for that person to have on a regular basis to maintain the house to get approved for the mortgage?
Well, if I said cash flow, excuse that terminology, we look at how much cash they have. So the cash flow that falls usually within the debt-to-income ratio, but how much cash someone has available to them as a liquid asset is what we're looking at. Now, what you need to put down is going to totally depend on which loan products you qualify for, because the down payment requirement for a VA loan and a USDA loan, for example, are 0% down. Typically on an FHA loan, you need to put 3.5% down. So on $100,000, that's $3,500. But with a lot of these first-time homebuyer programs out there, that still could end up where you're not coming out of pocket with any money. What we like to see, especially if you've had credit issues in the past, is once we subtract what you may need for your down payment and your closing cost, you're still going to have a cushion there in the bank. And the word that we use in the industry is called reserves. So, and reserves are calculated based on how many months of your mortgage payment do you still have in your bank account after you put down your closing cost at the table.
Okay. Sounds good. So allow me to ask you this.
Okay.
The qualifications for a person that is a W-2 employee versus someone who is self-employed that is a 1099. Does the criteria change or is it the same?
It's tremendously
okay.
different.
How are you thinking like me, Brandon?
So for a self-employed borrower, the beauty for a lot of us in that realm is that we are able to write a lot of our business expenses off. And based on the amount that we pay taxes on within the government-backed loans, they will only allow you to qualify based on the amount of income that you've actually paid taxes on. So if you made $100,000 and after the expenses, the cost of being a startup, you only made $50,000 for the year that you paid taxes on, that would be the amount of income that we could qualify you on for a government-backed loan. But there are products out there that will allow you to qualify on your gross amount as a self-employed borrower. It's just usually you're putting more money down. So you could either pay Uncle Sam, you know, the 20 to 30% in taxes to qualify under the government guidelines, or you could invest that into your home and have a better equity position.
Yeah. All right. That's a lot of information to take in right there.
Yeah. So now I want to get you to toot your horn. We want to ask you if you would please share with everyone your contact information so that mm-hmm. when people want to follow up on this information and they want to take it to the next level, they'll be able to contact you. Would you please share your contact information?
Sure. The best way to reach me is on my cell phone, which is 302-494-7712. We also have an office number for immediate assistance. There's someone there Monday through Thursday from 9 to 4:30, and that number is 302-299-1146. And the other option, I can be found on all social media channels under my name or Miss Cooper Home Loans.
That's Miss Cooper Home Loans.
Yes.
And you said you can be found on, and you can be found on social media under Alicia Cooper?
Yes, Alicia Cooper Wells, W-E-L-L-S.
Okay. And right now, we offer a number of services. So right now we're going to have a brief breather for about 60 seconds and remind people of another service we have. And we're going to come right back, Alicia, and we're going to continue with this questioning and allow you to share this valuable information with us and so that people can follow up with you and create what you need, which is a firm, solid client base. Okay, we will be right back.
Greetings, my people. Power up. This is Stephen Hutchinson of Financial Intelligence. I have a company called Power Tax. And in Power Tax, we do your taxes expertly and accurately, but we also answer your questions to help you understand what's going on within your tax return. And the result of that is that your financial intelligence shall multiply. Your financial literacy will increase. So reach out. We do tax returns for all 50 states. Consequently, you do not have to come to my office, but you can reach out to us at powertax.com. That's PowerTax with two X's, PowerTax.com, or you can reach us at 610-955-6508. That's 610-955-6508. I implore to you, don't go to strangers. Reach out to PowerTax. And remember, be powerful.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Financial Intelligence. This is Stephen Hutchinson, your host, with his partners, Ms. Kim Williams and Mr. Brandon Tate. And today we are interviewing the illustrious Ms. Alicia S. Cooper, who is the mortgage specialist at TAM Lending. And she is sharing with us some valuable information. Knowledge. Utilize is power. Knowledge utilized. Knowledge itself is just information. And information just sitting in the brain or sitting on a hard drive does no one any good. But if we apply it, then it becomes powerful. So we're going to continue getting this information and presenting it to you. I would like to ask you something, Alicia, since you were talking about the difference between a W-2 employee purchasing a home and a self-employed person purchasing a home, an entrepreneur. I was going to ask you, especially in relation to taxes, how does the new tax bill affect homeowners or affect mortgages? Is it affecting your industry in a positive or negative way? Or do you have anything to contribute as far as how the new tax bill is affecting your industry?
Well, since the new tax bill has not come into play in regards where anyone has filed their taxes for 2018 yet, I haven't personally experienced it. However, the fear over the industry is due to the opportunity to have the standard deductions increased to almost double in many of the categories for a single or married couple, that clients will no longer itemize, and with no itemization, there's no need to write off the mortgage insurance. The interest, excuse me, not mortgage insurance, the mortgage interest that you're paying. However, for myself and the clients that I speak with, being able to write the mortgage interest off is a added plus of homeownership, but that should not be the biggest motivator of being a homeowner. It should be the liberties of being a homeowner, you making your decisions, being in control, along with the opportunity of acquiring wealth through real estate instead of paying your landlord's mortgage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, as a tax professional, what I have also understood about the new tax bill as it relates to home ownership is exactly as you have expressed. There's a standard deduction and there's an itemized deduction. Each taxpayer has the option of doing one of the other. You cannot do both. You can't have a standard deduction and an itemized deduction. You can have either or. So in the new tax bill, which does take effect this year, it is in effect now, even though, as Alicia said, we haven't filed our taxes yet, so no one knows by experience how it will affect. But we know that the theory is now the itemized deductions have been decreased, and those options have been decreased. Like, for instance, I'll give you a clear example. Previously, one of the itemized deductions that were there is that you could write off the cost of paying your accountant or your tax professional for doing your taxes. That is no longer a deduction. So that's just one clear itemized deduction that's been removed. And the standard deduction has been doubled, and there are no more exemptions either. So the standard deduction has been doubled, and some of the itemized deductions have been removed. So obviously, people are going to be taking shelter more of the standard deduction, which does not, as Alicia pointed out, include your mortgage interest deduction. So now moving on from there, I just wanted to ask you one more question about what you explained previously about the W-2 employee and about the entrepreneur. And about the entrepreneur having two options, it sounds like you said. They can use their gross income or they can use their net income as the measurement for their down payment. Is that correct?
They can use that as the measurement of the amount of income they have to qualify when we look at the debt-to-income ratio. Now,
yes.
Most consumers, if you make $100,000 and you pay your net taxes are $50,000, we may not qualify you for as much house as you desire. So in order to not have to comply with the guidelines of using the net income, you would need to qualify in the realm of a portfolio loan, which is independent lending outside of the government guidelines. And most of those products do require a larger down payment. So most consumers are attracted to a government-backed loan because you have very minimal down payment requirements.
Okay, so when the term conventional is used, does that automatically imply a non-government-backed loan?
No.
So a conventional
loan
can also
they can also fall under the government-backed guidelines as well. Conventional financing, we often hear or assume that you need 20% to put down. There are conventional
right.
loans out there that go have down payment requirements as low as 3%. So a conventional loan does not automatically fall under a government loan. However, it doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't. Going back to, as I mentioned, there's a plethora of products out there. and the best way to sum it up, I always tell my self-employed clients, just keep in mind, if you're not paying taxes on that income, because it is rightfully your right to write and take your deductions, especially if you have a good tax advisor working with you. You need to keep in mind, though, you do need to have savings and money to put down into the transaction, because it is more useful to you as a self-employed person to not throw the money away by not taking your deductions. It's more powerful for you to have a better equity position in your home by making a larger down payment.
Okay, so the down payment, were you finished, Alicia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the down payment that you put down, does that have a direct correlation to the interest rate that you're going to pay on your loan?
Yes. So most government-backed loans have very low attractive interest rates because there's some types of there could be a subsidy there where a loan from a bank, credit union, portfolio lender, private lender may have a higher interest rate based on how much money you're putting down and what your credit score is. It's a risk assessment.
Right. That's an important word to understand is risk, the point of risk. When it comes down to money, there is always the element of risk. That is a natural element of finance, is risk. And I just have one more question, and then I'll pass it to Ms. Williams. Now we're talking about the relationship between the down payment and the interest rate that we're paying, and credit also affects the interest rate that we are going to pay. So when we say a government-backed loan, does that mean we are borrowing the money from the government, or just that the government is insuring that loan?
Often it is that the government is insuring the loan. So the lender or investor that is lending you the money in order for you to purchase your home, the government is ensuring that if you don't pay or don't perform, is the word we like to use, that lender will still be made partially whole through their subsidies or pool of money that they have there for loans that are not performing.
Okay. So government-backed loan still means there's a independent lender. Then there is the government who comes in to basically say that they are backing the borrower. That, like you said, if the borrower does not perform, or the mortgagee, I think is the word. Is that the right word, mortgagee?
Yes. Yes.
So they're like almost like a co-signer in a sense, saying that even if the mortgagee doesn't perform properly, we will take care of it. We'll step in and handle that business.
Correct. That's the best example I have to explain it is a co-signer scenario.
Yes. Okay. All right. And that clears it up for me, because sometimes it seems like or people think that it's the government that's loaning them the money for their mortgage, but it's not the government. It's actually a separate entity that's financing, and it could be a bank or a mortgage company. Maybe next time, and since you have a plethora of services, we got to get into that plethora.
Yes, indeed.
Even though we don't even have time. We got, like, believe it or not, we're down to about 8 minutes of the show.
Wow.
We haven't even really got into that plethora. But another thing I would also like for you to help us understand, too, is about the differences between banks and mortgage companies. Because as far as I understand, not all mortgage companies are banks, not all banks are mortgage companies. So there's some valuable information there as well, which you could help us with. And also in a future show, we also want to discuss the other side of mortgage lending as far as being an investor, buying an investment property and getting a mortgage or financing for an investment property. Since today's show, we're concentrating on purchasing a home for your personal use. So in the future, we'd like to do that. Is that okay, Alicia?
Yes. And I am doing a seminar on Saturday the 29th from 10 to noon inside of the Keller Williams office in Wilmington for investors who are looking into financing or buying their first investment property.
Mm. Okay. Oh, cool. And since this is since this is a podcast, just want to make sure that everyone knows that's September 29th, 2018, because someone may hear this in the future and think that it's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So because it's a podcast and people can listen to it in the future. So I just want to make sure they understand that's the date. And now I'd like to pass the questioning to Ms. Williams. Kim, you're there?
Okay. I'm here with my questions. Look. Especially for future reference, Alicia, I want to talk about, refinancing also. But since we're not there today, what should a person looking to become a homeowner, what should they be looking for in a broker? Since you are certified, you are a certified specialist. Me being a new person, looking to purchase my home, what things should I be looking forward to or asking you to help me in helping me get my first mortgage?
So I say why you should choose us for your first mortgage is because we offer an individual approach. There's a lot of information out there, but we do customize our information based on the individual we're working with at that time. Having great customer service, because being available during your, usually your first home being your largest purchase you're ever going to make in your life, there's a lot of stress there. You've never done it before, so having customer service but also the availability is very important from whether you choose a mortgage lender or bank. And that's one of the benefits of being a lender, a direct lender. You can catch me after hours. You know, you don't have to wait for the bank to open, and I'm only going to be available to you between 9 and 5. Also, the flexible mortgage solutions, you know, everyone's not going to fit within the cookie cutter, so you want to have an experienced lender who can work with you to get you to the finish line as fast and smooth as possible.
Okay, because what I'm hearing from our conversation today specifically and what it is that you have to offer, I like the, I guess you could say tailor-made, the educating aspect of it working for whomever you're sitting in front of. And I think that is very important for people to know, because my needs, my wants could definitely be, well, I know they're different from what Brandon needs, so to speak.
Correct.
So I want to make sure that whomever I had to help me in this major purchase, they're looking out for me and my interest, my family's interest, and not the institution, the bank's interest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, the thing that has made me different, I do believe is that I do like to make sure that my clients are knowledgeable throughout the process. I work with a team who is very knowledgeable and has more experience in the business than me. And we know how important this is to you, but we also know how important this is to our families, and we want to make sure that this can be a long-lasting, strong relationship where you're confident telling your family and friends about us and referring us in the future.
And one last question, Alicia. So are you working only in the Delaware area?
No, I am licensed in Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Florida.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. So
all
I
right.
hope our listeners
so I'm not gonna,
heard that.
So I'm not going to tie up all the rest of the time. Well, yes, I will, but I won't be too long. One thing that I wanted to ask about was PMI, private mortgage insurance. I understand that you, in order to avoid PMI, you have to put 20% down on a house. But I wanted you to give some clarity. Is there a way that you can pay the PMI if you don't have 20% down but still pay less to the principal?
Yes. So, again, this question came at the end of this call, so I'm going to try to give a very generic answer.
Take
your time. You don't have to rush.
Right.
I mean, unless you have another appointment, but
We do have time if you want to answer it.
I was waiting patiently
okay.
my turn.
But with the private mortgage insurance, starting with that, private mortgage insurance is what is needed when you don't have 20% for a conventional loan. For an FHA loan, it's actually called mortgage insurance premium, MIP. So I'm going to focus only on conventional loans right now with private mortgage insurance. And, yes, there are options where you can take a higher interest rate and the lender can pay off the mortgage insurance for you, which is called lender-paid mortgage insurance. So you take a higher interest rate and a smaller down payment, and you don't necessarily have to wait till you reach the 20% equity position not to have private mortgage insurance, PMI.
Okay. Very well put.
I can't wait to have you back.
I have one final question. If you could give us a couple of quick hacks about accelerated mortgage payments, ways in which you can pay off your mortgage quicker. Like some people are, you know, taking on 30-year mortgages and so forth, and they last forever. So could you just give us a couple of tips about how a mortgage can be accelerated? How can we pay off a mortgage quickly?
So one of the ways to pay a mortgage off quickly, you can make payments larger than your current monthly mortgage payment. One extra payment a year usually can shorten the mortgage by 7 years. However, for going back to that customized approach, we do like to sit down with our clients because paying the mortgage off early, as you know, being coming from a tax aspect, may not always be valuable to a client. So before you start making extra mortgage payments and not having the necessary deductions that are needed, definitely sit down with a mortgage professional, preferably me, Alicia Cooper, with TAM Lending, and we'll put a plan together for you.
we love it. And I just wanted to also just talk just quickly about your seminar that you're having. People don't know the address to where you're having the seminar, and I just want to say it's 1521 West Concord Pike, Suite 102 in Wilmington, Delaware, 19803. So I tell you the truth, I wish I could be there. Let me know when you're going to have the next one.
And do people have to register?
Say it again.
Do you need to register for that?
Not at this point.
Okay.
Feel free to walk in. Just make sure that you mention that you heard about me from Financial Intelligence, and I'll welcome you with open arms.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You guys heard that.
All right.
Excellent. Miss Alicia S. Cooper of TAM Lending, mortgage specialist, would you please give your contact information one more time, please?
Sure. The best way to reach me is on my cell phone. That's 302-494-7712. Our office number is 302-299-1146, and I can be reached on social media as Miss Cooper Home Loans, M.S. Cooper Home Loans.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank everyone. Thank everyone for their participation. And, folks, that's going to wrap it up. That wraps up another episode of Financial Intelligence. That's another one for you. You could take it to the bank. You could take this information straight to the bank. You do not have to go for 4 years or 6 years or 8 years or 10 years or 12 years or 100 years of college. You can get this information immediately and apply it to your life and improve the financial condition. As Ms. Alicia also explained, one of the important things of acquiring a home is as a basis for developing wealth. So, and it's not for everyone. Home ownership is not for everyone. So it's something that definitely needs to be thought about. It needs to be planned out. We need to consult with financial experts, consult with your tax experts, consult with your mortgage experts. You can actually get a plethora of free information just by consulting. Just consult. Ask questions. Open your mouth, ask questions. You can learn so much, and it won't even cost you anything, but it will advance you towards your objective and towards your goal. So thank you so much for listening. This is Stephen Hutchinson with his partners, Ms. Kim Williams and Mr. Brandon Tate. And today we interviewed Ms. Alicia Cooper of TAM Lending. So we're signing off, and we'd like to give our appreciation to our sponsors, to Gumbo for the Soul, A Tribe Family Channel, Miss Beverly Black, as well as Geniuses Common, Mr. Bruce George. So thank everyone, and remember, we'll be back in 2 more weeks to bring to you more financial intelligence, and we will also be back with Miss Alicia Cooper, who has a plethora of information to bring to you that she wasn't even able to provide today. So thank you very much. This is Financial Intelligence. Be powerful.
A small piece of paper, it carries a lot of weight.